We will have more Korean baseball for you tomorrow morning, 5:25 a.m. Eastern Time. It's on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. It's the SK Wyverns taking on the Doosan Bears. Meanwhile, it was a moment in history that who could ever forget. It was on this day in 1993 that Jose Canseco gave us a moment, Dominique, that we will never forget. Carlos Martinez with a fly ball to right field. Not that deep.
I mean, it's so impressive. That's fantastic. Like, if he was trying to do it, he couldn't have pulled that off. That's really one of the all-time great plays.
I'm sorry. I've never been. There are just a few plays in baseball history I can't watch and not laugh. That's one of them. The other one is the Manny Ramirez cutoff play in left field. I just can't watch and not laugh. Quickly, I'm told you have a Goldilocks clarification.
Yeah, now I want to apologize because I made a gravest error in saying that Mama Bear was the one who was just right. No, it was always Baby Bear. Because Papa Bear's stuff was too hot or too hard. Mama Bear's was too cold or too soft. However, Baby Bear right in the middle, always just right.
Okay, I'm not 100% sure we're getting anywhere with this, but and I know for certain we should just leave it alone. Let's kick off a new hour of Get Up here because Ryan Clark is going to need that long to recover. It is time to Get Up with Patrick and Lamar. The last two MVPs are the first two favorites this year, but only one is favored in every game. You'll hear which one coming up. Then, Tampa Tom may be a thing, but he isn't the most important thing on his own team. This will surprise you, and one of his teammates will join us live in this hour. And we'll start with this. Say it ain't so. We got one number that strongly suggests this could be the last year for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now with Get Up and Go. A quick run through all the headlines in the world of sports. Starts with baseball. Rays, Astros, and Angels have opened their facilities for limited team workouts. In Tampa, 14 players were there. They were playing catch. They were doing conditioning. They were working out in a makeshift weight room. Players wore masks except for while they were working out. We had Jeff Passan earlier tell us this is a huge week for baseball. It's also a big stretch here for the NHL, targeting early June to move to phase two of its return to play plan, which will allow for players to train in small groups at team facilities. Players and staff will be tested 2 days before they are scheduled to participate. And basketball, the NBA there, and you got all the very latest with this, the NBA and the Michelle Roberts, who is the executive director of the Players Association, told our Ramona Shelburne that the overwhelming sentiment of the players is they really want to play, and we'll see if they're able to get things started in time to play in late July. All right, to the ESPN Football Power Index, they just released their FPI, their numbers, our analytics, and the Packer fans are not going to like what they read. Our FPI gives Green Bay just a 43% chance to make the playoffs. Packers, of course, went to the NFC Championship game in January. They lost to the 49ers. They then drafted Aaron Rodgers' heir apparent and didn't do a whole lot else to help the team this year. So, Ryan Clark, as if Aaron Rodgers didn't have enough motivation with the Packers essentially dissing him, now the analytics have dissed him. Do you expect Rodgers, all of this talk about it's going to be the end of him, is he going to come out on a scorched earth tour, Michael Jordan style, and have one of the biggest years of his career?
Hey, man, don't nobody scorch earth like Michael Jordan. Let's not even play those games. We just watched The Last Dance, Greeny. If you had some water and the water spilled on him, the man wasn't going to drink water the rest of his life. You know how he did it. That's not the way Aaron Rodgers is built. But you and I were both waiting for the scorched earth Aaron Rodgers tour last year. I had him as my preseason MVP, and we just didn't see those things materialize. And one of the reasons was weapons on the outside, especially when Devontae Adams was down. So what does the Green Bay Packers organization do? Still not go get him any weapons. And so when you see that, you also see Jordan Love right here waiting in the wings. I expect Aaron Rodgers to play well. I don't think this team will be as good as it was last year. And when some of that writing begins to be on the wall, you're going to have to sit in the back of your mind if you're Brian Gutekunst, the GM, and say, you know what? It may be time to move on. We aren't competing at the level that we expected with Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback. And that's going to be on them too. And then they can make a decision to try to get something back for Aaron Rodgers and start to build around their young first-round draft pick, Jordan Love.
It creates a decision short-term and long. Neek, let's start with short-term. It's week 15. You're the coach of the Packers. You're 6-8, and you're out of playoff contention. Who's your starting quarterback?
Oh, it's Love, Jordan Love. Obviously, there's no sense. You know what Aaron Rodgers is. There's no way that Aaron Rodgers is going to get better. There's nothing for him to gain. Maybe he can pad his stats. But if you're out of playoff contention, then getting that rookie some time on the field is important for him. Putting Aaron Rodgers' body at risk doesn't serve you, doesn't serve anybody, even if you're trying to trade him going forward. So I think if they are out of contention and their defense falls short, because I think that will be their problem, because I think Aaron Rodgers can still put up enough points for them to score. But if they're out of contention, it's time to at least see what you have, and maybe you come back to Aaron Rodgers the following year. But if Jordan Love balls out in those last couple of games, maybe you're done.
Well, that was the bigger picture one. So the short term.
Remember the first time we saw Patrick Mahomes? It was in a game that he got to play in because the Kansas City Chiefs had already clinched their playoff berth, and he played extremely well. The next year, we move on from Alex Smith, and I'm not saying Alex Smith is Aaron Rodgers, but we have seen this type of story written before, and I'm definitely not saying Jordan Love is Patrick Mahomes.
No. There we go. I was going to chime in and make sure that point was clear also, because the Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes comparisons have gone on for far too long.
I'm with you, but here's the thing. It's a vastly different situation. If the Packers have wrapped up everything there is to wrap up and they put Jordan Love on the field the last week of the season, that's one thing. If they are out of it, if they've fallen out of it, generally speaking, the quarterback wants to stay on the field, right, Neek? I mean, he's not going to want to come out of there, and Rodgers not going to like them sitting him down.
I'm sure he's going to want to stay out there, but I'm sure he didn't want them to draft Jordan Love. It's quite clear that they don't care what Aaron Rodgers wants. I think I would not have drafted Jordan Love, but if I drafted Jordan Love and I had him sitting on my bench at this point and we're 6-8 and we got a couple of games left, then I'm going to go with Jordan Love. I'm sorry, Aaron, you're just going to have to keep being mad. And he handled it professionally last time. I'm sure he'll find a way to professionally handle it again.
Harsey, let's finish it up with this. Again, our FPI does not like the Packers to make the playoffs, does not like them to win that division. They have Minnesota in the division. Do you agree with that in your heart? Do you believe the Vikings win that division?
No, I absolutely do. I have the Vikings with an opportunity to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I think this team is much improved. You lose Diggs, but you go get Justin Jefferson in the first round. You rebuild your secondary with some of those picks, and I expect Kirk Cousins to take another step, as we saw him do in New Orleans last year in the Superdome. This team is going to be a very tough out, especially if Dalvin Cook is healthy again.
Okay, I have a couple other things coming out of the release of the analytics that I want to get to. Let's take a look at Cleveland. Despite having all of this talent, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, all these other names on the backs of the jerseys, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Candidly, they had a terrible year. According to our projections, the FPI projections, the Browns will miss the playoffs again. Let's take a look at what we're projecting to be their playoff chances right now. The high expectations last year, they fell flat. Our FPI for this season has them right on the cusp of the playoffs, basically a coin flip to make it. They'll be the first team out at eighth place in the AFC is the way we are projecting it. They do not get the benefit of the doubt in the division because obviously it's a very tough division. So I'm putting 60 seconds on the clock. Dominique Foxworth, make or miss the playoffs, Cleveland, go.
Oh, I think they missed the playoffs in part because what you mentioned, that division is so very tough. I think the Ravens are obviously the Ravens. Their defense is outstanding and Lamar Jackson is only going to get better. Then you have the Steelers who their defense almost got them in the playoffs last year. They could bring back some version of Ben Roethlisberger that is somewhere close to what he was. I think that this team, that team is also very good. So I think also to point out FBI, a lot of their analytics, or not all of their analytics, are based on the way that a team performed last year. So much of it is based on that. So if you were bad last year, we're going to expect that a lot of analytics would suggest that they're going to continue to be bad. So I agree with the analytics. The Browns are out.
Neek, in or out? Excuse me, RC,
Ryan,
in or out?
Oh, yeah, they're out. I believe that they're out. They're right on the outside of the playoffs this year. I agree with Neek with their division. But also, when you watch the way this team performed, it's going to be hard to project Baker Mayfield to be that much better just because you change head coaches and many of the skill positions are the same. So for me, this team is right on the outside of the playoffs come January.
I like them in the playoffs with a rebuilt offensive line. They got a lot of good players on that team, and they finally have the most important part of it set up in front of Baker. Let's see. Let me go to another team here that everybody loves to hate on, and that is the Houston Texans. Let's see what the FPI thinks of Houston here. The Texans made the playoffs last year, but FPI does not see that this year, giving them just a 38% chance to make the playoffs. That's ninth best in the AFC, so it's one slot behind Cleveland. With Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis, the FPI has the Colts winning the AFC South. So 60 seconds, Texans, RC, in or out of the playoffs, go.
The Texans are out. I don't need 60 seconds, and I don't know why you're saying everybody likes to hate on them. You know who likes to hate on the Texans? Bill O'Brien. That's who hates on the Texans. You know what he does? He goes for it when he shouldn't go for it. He kicks field goals when he shouldn't kick field goals. He punts the ball when he shouldn't punt it. He fakes punts when he shouldn't fake the punts. He also gets rid of one of the game's best wide receivers and doesn't get back in return what he should. So it's not our fault that the FPI doesn't see them getting to the playoffs. It's Bill O'Brien's fault, and the FPI is right. I think the Colts will be better. I believe the Tennessee Titans will be better. This team will regress this season.
What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like the Texans. I think that Bill O'Brien has definitely made some curious at best moves in the front office, but this team is still talented and Deshaun Watson is still the quarterback, and I don't have as much respect for the other teams in the division as I think RC does. I think they could certainly win that division because I'm not sure that Phillip Rivers at this stage is much better than Jacoby Brissett. And the Titans, I'm not sure that they can bring back what they did last year where they just got hot at the right time and that quarterback was playing so well. I think they could surprise some people and get in.
I agree. The trade of DeAndre Hopkins was so egregious and so terrible that I think it is sort of informed everything that we think about right. That team. Like they didn't become terrible just because they traded away their best player and didn't get enough for him. All right, now this one is the one I really like. NFL Vice President Troy Vincent acknowledged yesterday that the league, quote, failed miserably in implementing pass interference replay reviews last year. He said that such failure would serve as a cautionary tale for the league to not rush rule changes in the future. And I'm going to take the beginning of these 60 seconds here, guys, because I think this is a great lesson for everyone, not just in sports, but literally anywhere. When you screw something up, just admit it. As we put 60 seconds on the clock here, just say so. There's very little room for criticism. Troy, you guys screwed this up terribly. Yes, you're right. Well, now what are you going to say? At the end of the day, if you just are willing to admit they got it wrong, they had a terrible call that influenced the outcome of a very important game. They overreacted. They rushed it into play. They weren't ready to do it, and it was a bad move. And as it turns out, it worked out terribly. Troy Vincent said, yeah, we got it wrong. We screwed it up. There's really not much left to be said. It is a great lesson. When you're wrong, just admit you're wrong. Neat.
Yeah, I think it's an example of some true humility because I think what happens with the NFL and other major companies is they think that they're smarter than us. They think that they could talk us out of knowing talk us out of seeing what we saw. We saw that the rule was a big bungle, and I think Troy just came out and said, yep, we messed up. And I think people respect that. The NFL should do that more often.
No, it's been a whole setup. I'm not going to agree with the greeny bunny rabbit Papa Doc battle at the end of the show, and I tell these folks something they don't know about me. I don't agree with that. I also don't agree with Dom. Oh, look how humble we are. We're the NFL. We made a mistake. You know what this was? This is when your kids come to you. You know they want something stupid, so you give it to them. And you give it to them because you know it's stupid and you know it's not going to work. And you say, yeah, go out and do that. Sean Payton, all you guys on the committee, you want this PI review? We'll give it to you and we'll make it dumb. We'll make it not work. We will have our silent protest of never overturning all these egregious pass interference. And then because now you think it sucks too, we're going to come out and say, dang, guys, we missed on that one because we never wanted the dang thing in the first place and they knew it was stupid from the beginning.
You're right. They outsmarted me again. Y'all You're right.
It was more than 60 seconds, but it was well worth the trip. Well done. All right, we continue in a moment here on Get Up. If your team signed the best quarterback ever, what would your reaction be? We will ask a person who is in exact situation coming up live in this hour. And then next, if the NBA is able to resume the season, what happens if a player tests positive? Charles Barkley had a thought. His answer might surprise you. It's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We're back on Get Up, and this is a very important time in the world of sports right now. Our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the NBA's Players Association's Executive Director Michelle Roberts has been holding conference calls by teams with players to gather feedback on the idea to resume play in Orlando. Yesterday on the Paul Feinbaum Show, Charles Barkley has expressed concern over what happens if a player tests positive.
I think the one thing we got to do is how are we going to handle if one of our players get infected? And that, to me, is the tricky part. I mean, you can't stop the playoffs. Like, a team, I think a team's going to have to just forfeit a series if one of their, if any of their players, not even their best player, gets the virus. You're going to have to sequester the entire team, and they're going to have to forfeit a round of the playoffs. They're going to be gone from the playoffs.
All right, we bring Jalen in here, and Jalen, there's so many things I want to get to today with you, but I just wanted to get a quick reaction to that. When you heard Charles, when you talk to people around the league and everyone that you're in contact with, what do you make of what Charles said there?
Desperate times call for desperate measures, and I understand what Charles is trying to say, and he's right. All of those circumstances could take place, but you have to take that chance, Greeny. Our country is trying to heal slowly but surely. Sports is a big part of that, psychologically and emotionally. And everybody has to look at this season. It's just going to be random. There are going to be some circumstances that we had not seen before, and we just got to prepare ourselves for that. If one of the people tests positive for coronavirus, then we'll deal with it at that point. But we're seeing other sports slowly start to have live activity, UFC and NASCAR. I know you saw Peyton and Brady yesterday. So we're slowly starting to get back, and I think sports is going to help a lot of healing.
All right, I'm with you. So let me bounce my idea off you that I brought up on the air here yesterday, and I've been waiting for you to get your opinion on it. So for years, you and I think you and I have agreed on this. I know I've been saying it, that if there was a way to take the 16 playoff teams and seed them 1 through 16 rather than breaking them up into East and West, that they should do it. And Adam Silver has said to me a million times, travel is the reason they can't. Well, travel is not a consideration at Disney World. So you tell me, should they do it this year? Should they play out a tournament 1 through 16 in the playoffs?
Absolutely. And it goes back to exactly what I just said. In watching that Last Dance, I want everybody to remember something. There was a time when NBA teams actually played against squads in their division six times. You know what that creates? Rivalries. You know what we don't have today? Rivalries. What better way to now have squads that normally face each other twice a year actually face one another in playoff series, and therefore you get a chance to see great players playing against other great players that you wouldn't normally see matched up against one another. This is why I've been talking about this for 25 years. This has to be the year that it takes place. Just like resetting the schedule this year seems to be indirectly taking place. I love this idea, the thought behind it. If everybody's sequestered at one location, this is the chance to do it. And lastly, don't feel sorry for the players, Greeny. Just think about this. There may be 1,000, 1,500 NBA personnel in one place at one time. At Disney, imagine being quarantined with your family at home in your multi-million dollar estate or your NBA player apartment. But then all of a sudden, it's 1,000 of you, and you have Disney. You could give each team their own hotel and still have space. So I love that idea. I hope it happens.
No question. They could be on Space Mountain on their off days. They got plenty of time down there. Okay, so you and I are in agreement on that. Let's see what you think of this. Our friend Matt Barnes, and he's going to come on tomorrow, and we'll talk about this a little more with him. But he has his podcast called All the Smoke, and he had some very interesting comments in which he basically said he has a championship ring from the 2017 Warriors, but he doesn't really count it. Here's a little bit of what he said. He said, I came in when Kevin Durant went down, played a consistent 20 to 25 minutes. The game KD comes back, I get hurt maybe a week before the playoffs, and I'm out of it. I got a free ride. I got a free ring. I didn't sweat. I didn't get to guard LeBron. I don't count that. as a championship. So essentially, he's saying if people say, hey, how many titles did you win in your career? He says none. He says that one doesn't count as a championship. Do you agree with that? If you were in that situation, would you say the same thing?
I definitely agree, Greeny. And what that is, young people and everybody listening, that's called self-awareness. There's so many times that people achieve something and they think it's because of them. How about people with nepotism? They end up on third base and believe they hit a triple. That's what Matt Barnes is saying here. I felt the exact same way after playing 12 plus years in the NBA, putting in work, playing a lot of minutes, and then I got the Phoenix, Greeny. That was going to be my chance to get me a ring. I was running with Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion. I was going to get me a ring. And then I got there, I was getting DMPs. And then as the season progressed, I would have been enthusiastic. I would have sprayed champagne. I would have loved to be a part of a parade. But I wouldn't have been as emotionally or physically invested in that championship ring or enthusiastic about it because I didn't put the level of effort into it that I felt like I would have achieved something so very special by like winning a championship.
Would you ever wear the ring in public? If you had the ring under those circumstances, you'd never wear it?
Nah. See, not going to be able to do it. I definitely wouldn't do it.
I would wear it everywhere. I would pierce my I would pierce my nose and I would have it on my face so that it would be on television literally every single day. A championship ring, Jalen? Are you kidding me? Those don't come so easy. You played a role. You were in practice. You know, maybe you lifted somebody up with a pep talk one of these days. You played a role. They always say this is a total team championship.
Let me tell you what's funny, Greeny. Yeah. As an athlete that came up short in high school, that came up short in college, that came up short in the pros, there's so many fans that root for teams and actually feel like those are their championships.
Yes.
There's people walking the face of the earth right now like, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Laker fan. I'm a Cowboy fan. So I'm a champion.
Right.
So I'm great. That ain't how it works. Ain't reality.
I'm telling you this right now. If the Jets win the Super Bowl this year, I'm getting a championship ring, and I'm wearing it all the time. All right, Jalen, stay close by. We have more to do with you as the morning continues. And then tomorrow night on ESPN, we will relive one of the legendary nights in NBA history, April 13th of 2016, 7 Eastern. You got Steph and the Warriors winning their record 73rd game, and that's immediately followed by Kobe Bryant's 60-point performance in his finale. It was an unbelievable night of basketball, and you'll see it all on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, now that Tom Brady is in the fold, Shaq Barrett thinks his team should be playing in the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Why? We'll ask him next. It's right here on Get Up ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We are back on Get Up, and it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who made the biggest splash of this NFL offseason, signing Tom Brady to a 2-year, $50 million contract. They also traded for his longtime teammate, future Hall of Fame tight end, Rob Gronkowski. But in Tampa, they're going to rely heavily on their defense. That D allowed a league-low 3.3 yards per rush last season. They had 47 sacks. Tied for the 7th most in the NFL with the Jags and the Patriots. Shaq Barrett was in the middle of all of that. And according to our analytics, our football power index, the Buccaneers have a 4% chance to win the Super Bowl this year. That is the 7th highest percent chance in the sport. Doesn't sound very high, but it actually is pretty high. And there he is, the NFL sack leader from Tampa Bay. Shaq Barrett is with us live here on Get Up. And Shaq, thank you for doing this. And obviously your team has been the talk of this offseason. So what was your immediate reaction when you heard it was official and Tom Brady was coming to Tampa?
I was really excited. I knew that. I mean, that instantly made us a Super Bowl contender, a playoff contender, and that's what exactly what we need to be right now. We feel like we had everything, or almost everything, us around. So we was a couple pieces away, and we added a few key pieces, and now we have everything I think we need to have a good run.
And the changes expectations from the outside for certain. How does it affect expectations on the inside? Did it change your expectation for the season?
Go, Brad. Go. Not right now. Go. It's mine.
What do we got going over there? Family? You got family going on? What's happening there?
He wanted me to buy something on his iPad like he do every day.
I got it.
But, yeah, like expectations from if we would have had James, I think James would have made a big jump. But I think with Brady, it just makes us an automatic like contender for Super Bowl. With James, I think we'd have been a playoff contender. It would have been still a battle for sure, and it's still going to be a battle now. But having Tom, I think we're going to be over the edge and everything. On paper, it looks perfect. We just got to put the work in.
And are you comfortable with that? Are you comfortable making some sort of statement like you believe you are a Super Bowl team?
Yes, yes. I'm most definitely. I believe in everybody we got on our team. I believe in our coaches, our front office. They did a great job this offseason. I'm happy to be a part of this organization.
What conversations have you had with Tom Brady so far? It's been such an unusual offseason. You guys can't get together aside from virtually. What conversations have you had with him so far?
We just introduction conversation, just saying excited to play with him, excited to play with me. I told him I'm looking forward to him bringing down some of that winning culture down here and some of his winning ways, and we just ready to get to work.
I think you'll know why I'm asking you this question. Do you play golf?
I got this scar. I don't know if you can see. I got the scar on my face from golf, but I don't play. I would love to learn and get better, though. I'm going to get that done soon.
But that's going to require an explanation. You're a football player and you have a scar from golf? How did that happen?
So about 8, 9 years old, man, my brother Kevin is his name, but we call him Grump. We was playing golf in the house, and I was standing behind a golf club and got hit right in the face.
Isn't that interesting? How does that compare?
It wasn't as bad as it sounds, though.
how did the golf injury compare to any of the football? What's the most painful football injury you've ever had?
The most painful football injury? Oh, probably could have been my collarbone. I tried to play through it. It was the last game of the season this year, and I hurt my collarbone. And then took like a couple weeks to fully recover from it. So it was kind of good that we didn't go to the playoffs because – I would have tried to play, but I would have not have been 100%, and I would have been hurting. So I would have tried to give him my all, but I would have been mad if I would have had to sit out a playoff game because of being hurt. So that probably would have been my worst injury.
Okay, so you got the football injuries, you got the golf injuries, we got a lot of history there. Let's talk about, we've talked about your offense a lot. Let's talk about your defense, because our analytics project you as a top 5 defensive team. What should we expect from Tampa Bay's defense this season?
We young, and like the youngness combined with the vets that we have, the hunger, the drive, like we so motivated right now. We saw our mistakes from last year. We tried to improve and we got better towards the end of the year. So we're excited to build on that, man. I love our defense. I love our offense. That's why we should be contenders for sure this year if we do the work that we need to do.
You personally finished 3 short of tying Michael Strahan's sack record, which is 22.5. What's the number this season?
I'm shooting for 19.5 again, but if I get over that, that'd be perfect. But no, I just want to just help the team win whatever production that is that comes with it. That's all that I need to do. But I just want to win every game, no matter what the production is. I just want to be in the playoffs again. I miss being a playoff team and that atmosphere. I mean, I love being in the playoffs, and anything can happen in the playoffs. So once I could do whatever I can do to get us there, that's all I want to do.
That's the right idea. Listen, hey, thank you very much for doing this, my man. Stay away from golf, because that's obviously very dangerous if you get hurt doing that. And best of luck. I hope that we get to see you guys out there on the field soon. Thanks very much for doing this. Have a great day.
All right, you too. I appreciate it.
There he is, Shaq Barrett, the NFL's leading sacker from a year ago. And let me bring in Dominique and RC to run the hurry up. Neek, FPI likes the Bucs offense 13th in the sport, their defense 4th. Could Tampa's defense carry that team?
Yeah, I absolutely think they could. And Shaq Barrett was an important part of that offense. I think sometimes players get a lot of sacks because of luck. That wasn't the case for a guy like Shaq Barrett. He was beating blocks and he probably deserved more sacks than he ended up with. So I do think the way this defense was playing towards the end of the year was impressive, and they are probably going to be the strength of that team going forward, even with Tom Brady at quarterback.
RC, our FPI projects the Bills to edge out New England for the division. Are the Bills the AFC East champ this year?
Absolutely. I think the Bills are the team coming into the season, and we will watch them progress as the season goes along. You look at the end of the season last year for Josh Allen. He was smart with where he threw the football. He also started to use his legs more. Now you add Diggs to that offense, and we know what this defense was last year. Obviously, Edmonds is a star. Tre'Davious White, one of the best corners in the game, and a great safety group. The Bills win the AFC East.
And finally, back to you, Neek. FPI likes the Cowboys just a little over the Eagles. Who do you like?
Oh, I like the Cowboys. I was on the Eagles a few weeks ago, but I came to my senses because of the man we saw first, number four. He's a special player, and he is going to lift the Cowboys to where they need to be. Y'all need to get on board immediately. CeeDee Lamb right there is a good player to add to make sure that Dak keeps progressing.
Okay, so I know your love for Dak Prescott knows no bounds, and I respect it. But let me try and talk you back into reality here. The NFC East is Philadelphia's division, and here's why. Because they every year someone's season is ruined. Like usually two or three teams' seasons are ruined by injury. The Eagles were one of those teams last year, and they still managed to make it to the playoffs ahead of Dallas. They are also the only team in their division that has a stable coaching situation. They made no coaching change in a season in which we are going through a pandemic, so there is no offseason program, so all the teams with new coaches are coming in behind the eight ball. I'm not exactly sure how we feel. The Cowboys have gotten better and the Eagles have gotten worse. I think the opposite. So to me, Ryan Clark, I think the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East, and I don't think it's that close.
Now, I 100% agree with you, Greeny. Now, I do believe it's close because there is a lot of talent in Dallas, but the Eagles have continuity. They have chemistry. They've also improved. And I say it all the time. When you look at who Carson Wentz was throwing the ball to down the stretch of last season, those weren't not only household names, those weren't names at all. And now you add all the pieces they have on the outside. Miles Sanders getting another year of maturity and also hoping that Carson Wentz can come in and be healthy throughout the season with Jalen Hurts backing up. This team is the better team when you speak of the two. And I expect Doug Peterson and the Eagles to represent the NFC East in the playoffs.
And they added some answers in the secondary. I think you're right. It's hard to argue against the Eagles. I think they are a good team, but let's not discount the Cowboys. I think we're splitting hairs right here. They're both very good teams. I don't think anyone will be surprised if either team wins the division. But if we're looking for a difference maker, I'm going to go with my guy Dak throwing the ball. He's the difference maker. And I know I'm I am conscious that there is bias seeping into my opinion. That's fine. I'm conscious of it. I'm pointing it out. It's my love of Dak that pushed me over the top. And that's okay. I'm fine with it. That's what happened.
The head RC, final word.
Hey, clearly, if the Dallas Cowboys loved Dak as much as you did, dude would get $50 million a year. I do believe that Dak Prescott has an opportunity to ascend and take that next step, but we just haven't seen it in the moments that he needed it most, which was last year in Philadelphia. You're driving to win the game, and you didn't make the plays you needed to make, which is why I put Carson Wentz ahead of Dallas Dak Prescott as well.
That's one moment. He let a game-winning drive against Seattle in the playoffs. He let three scoring drives in the fourth quarter as a rookie in the playoffs. You pull out that one moment against
Dominique
Carson Wentz and act like that's it. Clark. Yes, sir.
Dominique Foxworth. Eli Manning is going to go to the Hall of Fame on not two moments, but two throws. So don't give me that. It's about when you do it, where you do it, and how important it is.
All right. Dominique is getting set to go do First Take, so he'll be live in 21 minutes. We'll see which children's fable we can get wrong on that program a little bit later.
Goldilocks was a monster
today.
Everyone knows that.
Meanwhile, as we continue here, one of them is favored to win the Super Bowl. The other is favored to win every game. Is it a lock we see Mahomes and Lamar in the AFC title game? That answer is next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We are back on Get Up, and this should be very interesting. The NCAA's Board of Governors, as you know, recently supported a proposal that would allow college athletes to sign endorsement contracts and receive payment for other work. It is known as name, image, and likeness. Reggie Bush recently expressed concerns to Playboy about that proposal. And Bush, of course, is one of the great college stars that we've seen in generations. Now, here's what he said. He said, guidance is the one thing that young athletes coming through the system might miss on so much. I missed on it. They're about to start paying college athletes. This is something that has never been experienced before, and it's going to destroy some people if their foundation is not in the right place. The one thing I wish I had early in my career is proper financial knowledge. I hired good agents and I hired a good team, but I allowed that good team to make decisions for me. I'm not saying I'm going bankrupt, but if I had the proper knowledge back then, some things would be different. Really interesting, and we're going to talk about it here. Laura and Paul are back, and Jalen, I want to start with you because you're one of the few people who can really understand what it's like to have been Reggie Bush at one time. You're on one of the most famous college teams of all time. So when you hear him saying things like there are some people who are going to be destroyed if their foundation is not in the right place, what are you hearing when he says that?
Well, money's the root of all evil. So a lot of that to me is obvious. When money's involved, it will destroy a lot of people. For young athletes, Greeny, you become a master of your craft. And for me, it was basketball, dribble, pass, shoot, constantly be in the gym, constantly training. But you know what else is just as important when you become a young adult and a professional? Literacy you have in other areas that you're going to need to unlock as you become a professional and an entrepreneur, a leader of your situation, understanding your finance. You now are going to be employing your family and friends. You're going to have an entourage. You're going to have a staff, agent, manager, trainer. It's so many things that these young athletes should be able to major in sports while they're in college. Learn public relations. Learn how to be a trainer, a doctor. Learn the jobs within sports. So if the NBA, the NFL, or whatever professional sport isn't for you, you can still get a job in that profession. So many times when athletes are done with college, they can't get a job in sports, and that dynamic has to change.
Laura, you talk to so many people around college sports, and we have focused when it comes to this discussion on how strongly the NCAA and others have tried not to pay players for years. How much does this concern come up? How much do you hear about the concerns about what it will actually do to the young people involved?
Well, I think already there have been some programs in place for financial literacy at some of the big time universities and even some that aren't as big time. And you see that as something that's accessible to these players. And I think that concern is almost more something preemptive where they said they knew that a lot of this was going to be coming down the pipe and trying to educate players on what would be best for them. Because you do hear a lot of players sort of quietly say, you know, I'm going to have to pay all of these people. I'm going to have to try and figure out how to give my money the second that I get it to as many people as possible. And I think that's a very real thing for a lot of these young people, something that Reggie Bush, I think, was trying to allude to in all of this. And then when it comes down to what everybody from a leadership standpoint thinks, and Paul can speak to this as well, they're saying, yes, this needed to happen, but how do we regulate it? It's going to put a lot of pressure, I think, on some of the compliance offices that are going to have to say everything from a free sandwich to a free car is going to be needing to be reported under these guidelines. It's just a very wide range of gifts that may need to be reported with the name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, so there's so many pieces to this. I'd like to focus, though, for a moment, though, if we can, just on the notion of how this might impact young people, Paul, because, look, this is not limited to sports. Child actors, child stars who become stars at a young age in music. It's not normal. It's not a normal occurrence for a person of that age to all of a sudden become very famous or to have a lot of money, to have responsibilities within their family, as Jalen was just talking about. How concerned should we be about the influence or the impact that might have on young people in sports?
Well, I think you have to be concerned, Greeny, and this is really a problem pervading society. I mean, you see 15, 16-year-olds become millionaires or billionaires with some new social media contraption. But in college athletics, I mean, there are many filters, and I don't mean to shoot the messenger here, Reggie Bush, when he has a good message. But you can't forget that he disgraced his school. He had a Heisman taken away from him. And frankly, I'd rather go to Tom Brady for a golf lesson than I would for Reggie Bush for advice on what to do in college, because I just think he's trying to cover up all the mistakes that he's made without really taking a responsibility. And I think that's the key.
Jalen alluded
to it. You have to take responsibility when you're a young person. You just can't blame it all on someone else.
Jalen?
So, you know how much I love you, Paul, but I disagree with you there about the Reggie Bush shade, and here's why. Experience is the best teacher. And for somebody that's been in the foxhole and experienced all of the things that he's experienced, I think he's more equipped to describe what it's like to someone else versus somebody like Tom Brady, who didn't have that in his past.
Yeah, and Tom, I think the golf piece of it I got, and I understand what you're saying. But, Jalen, I want to go to that, because what is it actually like? Like when all of a sudden you go from, and your life story is reasonably well known by most people who know you. You grew up in a difficult situation with a single parent, and all of a sudden you're very rich and you're very famous. What is that like?
Well, for me, I was going to the dermatologist. I was going to the dentist. I was going to get fresh. I was going to buy a house. I was going to retire my mom. I had all of these grandeur dreams. And then you realize, like, you got to put in the work so that you can have a long career. And what I was trying to do, actually, when I started our school, Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, in 2011, two things I wanted to have at the school, Greeny. One was a police mini station, because black and brown people a lot of times only interact with the police when there's hostility involved. And the other thing was a credit union to teach young people for financial literacy. So many of these players come from backgrounds like you just described I came from. And you know what their parents aren't able to do? Teach them how to manage money. You know why? Because they are living check to check, or they might not have it. So that's why it's important when you get to college, they should be educating you on all things, not having these young people taking ballet or basket weaving. Teach them how to manage their money and their situation, but also show them that it's the score of the game and it's the game of life.
Final word, Laura. This isn't done yet, right? I mean, this is something that still has to be approved. Where is that?
Yeah, and I think it will get approved, because I just don't think there's any other option. This thing has been barreling toward approval for a long time, and as we've said, there are many that have thought it should have already happened. But I do think that there's a lot still needing to be worked out with it, and it's kind of an interesting conjunction of times. There's so much decision-making that has to happen about college athletics in general with everything going on in our world right now, and then this is sort of pushed down the pipe, but it's not really, because it's very much at the top of people's minds and very important to these young players and really athletes across the board. We're talking about female athletes as well. So I think that's a big piece of this altogether that really makes it important.
All right, all three of you busy all day long. Jalen and Jacoby, Paul Feinbaum Radio Show. Laura's doing First Take. We're jam-packed all day long. Let me show you what's coming up here on ESPN. First Take follows us here in just about 9 minutes. That's followed by SportsCenter, then NFL Live and The Jump. At 4 o'clock, Jalen is back. Jalen and Jacoby, followed by Highly Questionable and Around the Horn. Then a two-hour SportsCenter is at 5. The PTI guys will be a part of that fun and cap the day with SportsCenter with SVP. Going to be a full day of sports here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up, if the NBA resumes this year, who's the favorite? LeBron's Lakers? Kawhi's Clippers? It's a perfect debate for the First Take crew, and they follow us in 8 minutes right here on ESPN. It is time to run the hurry up with Ryan Clark as we take a look at what our Football Power Index is projecting for this year. RC, the Ravens are favored to win every game, including week 3 at home against Kansas City. Should the Ravens be favored in every game?
I think going into the season, they should be. We look at this team. They ran roughshod through the regular season last year. They will have Kansas City at home this season. And you heard what Mark Ingram said last year. Meet me outside the bank. It's big trust. They feel really confident. So that team coming into this season with their improvements that they made, I don't mind them being favored in every game at all.
But FPI favors the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think, and I think both things can exist at the same time. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs having Patrick Mahomes, having Andy Reid, the way that they have performed in the playoffs the last two seasons as compared to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. You're going to pick the quarterback that you've seen do it before and expect him to be able to do it again.
But It took us an hour and 58 minutes, but Jalen Rose, we finally got to the important part here. And those were very unflattering photos of both of us. But that's neither here nor there. The Football Power Index has the New York Jets projected ever so slightly ahead of the Detroit Lions in terms of win total. But essentially, they're both projected to win 7 games this year. That's how many the Jets won last season. The Lions have been under 7 wins each of the last 2 seasons. So, Jalen, we had this wager this season on the New Orleans Pelicans making the playoffs. Unfortunately, the season got called off, so there's no winner and no loser in that. Boy, did that work out well for me, just in that little particular piece. So are you interested in rekindling this wager over which of our teams winds up getting more wins this season?
Absolutely. First and foremost, whoever showed those pictures of us, Greeny, they don't like us very much.
No, that's it, yeah.
And they don't do a lot of research, because those pictures are very old. They didn't work really hard to gather those.
With that being said,
I have never RC bet on sports. I'm going to give some advice right now. The Lions winning more than 6.5 games this year. We got Galladay on the outside. We got Matthew Stafford. He's better. Would I take the Lions quarterback or the Jets? I take the Lions receiving core? We drafted Swift. We drafted Okuda. We still have Kerryon Johnson. The Lions making the playoffs this year. Of course we're going to have a better record than the Jets.
Yes. The perennially playoff-bound Detroit Lions, no doubt, will make their another run back there. Go ahead, RC. Which one of us, if this is a wager, which one of us wins?
You know what? I'm going to say that Greeny and the Jets win. I think that they will be able to take the next step. You've got some protection for Sam Darnold. I just don't know if Matt Stafford even stays healthy. And when he's been healthy, they haven't won games. They've added a couple of pieces, and they do have Galladay on the outside and other receivers. But to me, right now, the Jets have an easier path, an easier schedule, and they've shown improvement. The Detroit Lions have only gone backwards.
I'm out of time. Jalen, suit bet? We make the suit bet, right? We rekindle the suit?
We definitely got a suit back. Producer Pete McConville, please bring me on to talk about football.
Like, the bet is on.
This is a no-brainer. Lions, RC, Lions, Greeny.